That like was surprisingly quick how quick it went live.
You
Or
got
maybe I
it,
just didn't
stubborn.
notice. Yeah. Okay, so
Sneaky stream.
sneaky stream, surprise stream, like with only like 45 minutes to get people ready.
My dog's being fussy, so she might show up in the background.
Cool. We can have a cool
That's what
cameo.
happened to the bed. That's not, she did that earlier.
She's having fun. She's excited for
Yes.
Hunter Hunter conversation. I think it'll be well, like I feel like we've mentioned it on the pod, but we've never like talked about it
That's what I feel. I was
in
gonna say
depth.
something like that.
Like
I was
yeah, we
gonna
never
say, I was like, have we talked about Hunter Hunter enough? And the answer is no.
No. So this is that pod. So I think like we're not probably gonna get a lot of people on since it's a surprise stream. Very last minute, but I do want to talk about it, so let's just get into it, and then like whoever joins us can join us. So if you notice any whoever's in the chat, if you notice, I think one person, Sunrise Fess, welcome to the chat, thank you for joining us. If you notice any audio issues, let us know.
I feel like Sunrise Fest. I feel like they posted an emote, but I can't see it.
Yeah, I you know what, I was like, I don't know what that, maybe it's like a smartphone emote, but now that you put it up on screen, it doesn't even look like that. It just looks like blank. All right, well, let's just do it.
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. Welcome to the Just Weaves podcast. I am your host, Onimaru, and I'm here with shocking. She's not on camera currently right now, but she'll be back in a second because I probably played the intro at the wrong time. But oh, she's back. And we're here today to talk about Hunter Hunter with
Sorry, that was
this.
terrible.
No, it's okay. I totally like gave you an explanation, so you're good.
I thought my dog was choking, but she's just on her chair.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not concerning.
Oh, she's fine.
Shaw's dog is in the background. You might be hearing the dog here and there. She might crash at
There's
some
an
point.
episode called Hisoka is Sneaky, but I will repurpose that to Suki is Sneaky. So.
There you go. But yeah, so we're gonna talk about Hunter Hunter. I'm excited to talk about it. We never actually formally have talked about it on the pod. Like we've mentioned it here and there, but not like a dedicated whole topic or episode on it. But the reason to talk about it now is that it just returned recently. So just came back from hiatus. Two new chapters came out. Three, it was it
Yeah, I think,
391 and 392.
yeah, three is coming out. The third one is coming out today, I think. I
Oh,
saw
I'm excited.
some text leaks, and I didn't read them because it would probably be too in-depth and I wouldn't understand what's going on. So I was like, I will get the next one.
Like a week ago, I would be perfectly neutral, and now I'm happy to say that I'm actually genuinely excited.
Okay, because this is no surprise to anyone that I'm a big Hunter Hunter fan. Maybe it is actually because we don't talk about it that much, but no, I think it's still not a surprise.
It's not a surprise,
It's
but
not
I
a
think that's the
surprise.
reason like we don't talk about it, because it's like, you're kind
Yeah.
of like one, a big fan, also caught up. My situation is I was not caught up. I have not. I pretty much my whole thing was I finished the anime when it was airing, read one chapter of the new arc. I'm like, this is gonna be long, probably. It's gonna be. So I just said I'm gonna wait, and then I never caught up, and it's been like 6 years.
And that's like honestly kind of fair because like there it's you're kind of it's tough to be incentivized when something's on hiatus, which we've experienced with other series before, but
Yeah.
it's tough when you feel like, okay, there's not gonna be more, and I don't want to get super invested if nothing else is gonna happen. Also, there's just like a lot to get into with the post-anime arc. So it's a big commitment. It's not just like, oh, like let's read a few chapters here and there. I
Yeah.
have to look it up, but it's like a significant amount of chapters. It's not, I think it's like at least three volumes worth.
It is
more.
52. And the reason I know that is because I spent all of yesterday, all of yesterday catching up to all of it.
Yeah.
I did it, but I was just like, this was the whole day. And like, now I know what Shaw meant by you're in for some text boxes. I was
Cause that was one of the things is I was on like, I remember when it was like the last chapter that came out before this one, I guess it was 390 or 389. That's the one that gets like infamously memed on because it's just like, oh, there's like two pictures and then everything else is text boxes, which has been redrawn for the volume, which is kind of cool. I think that's cool.
Oh.
But that one's like infamously memed on where it's just like a lot of information. And
was it the one with the guy? What's that guy's name? He's not like one of the.
I do not know his name. I don't know. Well,
he's like one of the prince's like guards. Bodyguard. Yeah,
which doesn't
like,
narrow
so,
it down.
So I was waiting. I feel like I had vaguely seen that chapter in a meme out of context like a long time ago, and I like had not encountered a text box page like that yet, and I literally got to that page late last night and I'm like, oh, this looks vaguely familiar. This is it, because as soon as I hit the page I'm like, this looks intimidating.
And it's like not that bad when you actually read it, but it's like, I guess it's like low hanging fruit. Like it's very easy to be like, oh yeah, like Hunter, the light novel or whatever, like the light novel section.
Yeah, but it wasn't a huge deal. Like it was kind of easy. Like I had been reading so much text already in these chapters that it was kind of easy to ignore that like there was nothing behind the panels. It was literally just text. But like at first glance, it was like, yeah.
At first you're just like, oh my gosh. But it's, you know, what's actually kind of funny that I've noticed since I read like that kind of stuff. Like I read those chapters kind of years ago when they first came out. And then also I had read them kind of early on and like experiencing manga. So I'm like, oh yeah, like there's a lot of text, but I don't mind. I've seen some stuff that I've experienced some stuff recently. And I got to say like Hunter is not the only one with a lot of text in it. It's just kind of like the only one that gets shit on for it.
I mean, One Piece had a lot of text.
One Piece has a lot of it. I've seen that. When I was starting Bleach, people are going to not believe me, but like when you read the first couple chapters of Bleach, there's a lot of text. And I was surprised because I remember hearing about the like, you know, the blank page where it just says like the heart.
Guilty. I mean, I've been guilty of telling you like it doesn't have a lot of text. But yeah, I guess that's later on.
And like I've seen the panels of Bleach where it's just like pure action and stuff, which looks cool. But but I was like reading the beginning of Bleach and everyone, it's not just you, like everyone was saying like, oh, you know, like not that much. And I'm like, there's a lot of text here. And I'm not saying that in it as like a criticism or anything. I'm just saying that as like a neutral statement. Like there's a lot of text. So
yeah, I mean, like it's not something I haven't seen before, but I will say like there were pros and cons to binging it all at once. It was it was a lot. It was a lot because it's not only just a lot of text. It is a lot of like new information to take in.
It's a lot of content. That's why I can almost justify the text because it's not just text for the sake of it. There's just so much content. Yeah. But that's also makes it a bit overwhelming.
Yeah. He's like building up so much stuff and you're learning about new things that you previously didn't know that it's like, okay, I get the reason for the text, but this is a lot, especially since I'm binging. And then like, that was one thing. And then the second thing is like, but it would have really sucked to have like read this, like having to wait so long in between. Cause I would have forgotten half the thing from the last chapter and then like to, you know, remember again. So, or sometimes you didn't like see the payoff until like two chapters later. So
I feel like I simultaneously remember vaguely what happens, but then I also probably forget a lot. But like if you ask me character names outside a few, like no, but I remember like a lot of the roles and the structures of what's going on. And that's how I've like stayed above surface with it, where I'm just like, okay, I just remember the like overarching points and what we're doing. And if they have a familiar face, and I'm just going to kind of keep moving. Cause I did not go back and reread. I just read the chapters as they came out. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just having a good time. I'm just happy we're here.
I mean, I kind of did that with everything before Dark Continent arc. I'm like, I vaguely remember everything, anything. And I was just like, you know what? I don't remember how Kurapika's Emperor Time works exactly. I don't remember.
They expand on that. That's what's cool.
But I don't remember how it originally works. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to roll with it. I'm just going to.
Oh, yeah. I'm lucky that I've memorized every pre-manga only stuff. Yeah. Like, I could tell you that off the back of my hands.
Yeah. Like, in my mind, it's in. I know. No. It's one of your favorites. It makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, but like in my mind, it's just ingrained as like cool ass ability. And that's all I know. So I'm like, okay, cool, we're going to run with it.
Happen.
Yeah. It's kind of broken, but it's kind of cool. So yeah. I went with it. So I didn't bother refreshing. I kind of just went with like what was here. And thankfully, like you said, it was like, it's new information.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, like you don't really have to remember too much of the previous stuff. But now that you said like people's names, I don't think I can recall names from this.
No. Well, like you said, he's one of the prince's bodyguards. I'm like, bro, that is 20 people. That's like
no. It's really fresh in my head. It was the one. Yeah. Okay. It was the one that has the, predator. That's like Predator Nen, like the Nen that like, I shouldn't call it Predator Nen, but it makes a predator that basically killed one of the prince's Nen beasts. I'm jumping around, but he killed one of the prince's Nen beasts. Damn.
Okay, that still is narrowed down.
But no,
that's my fault. That's my fault because I'm like, okay. Because
I mean, like, besides that, there's nothing that much about him. He's only been introduced for that context, and then
So do we want to? I was thinking about it because I realized this could be a lot. Do we want to structure this in terms of like Born for Everyone? We're talking about like the manga, pretty much the new manga content. So I guess we could do like an anime discussion at some point, but for the sake of this, like if you don't want to be spoiled on the manga, bye kind of thing. But I think you made that obvious.
Yeah, my bad.
No, you're good. I'm just telling people. And then do we want to go over what has happened or just do like the latest chapters?
And you know, whoever's in chat, you also can choose, you know, how you,
choose
if there's
your,
anything,
choose your podcast adventure.
Yeah. Choose your adventure. You get dibs, you get priority for how this is going to go down. Obviously cause you're here. So let us know. But yeah, cause I feel like, this definitely needs structure. There's just a lot of stuff. There's so many things to like cover. And I have like, having just freshly binged it, a lot of thoughts. I don't know if they're all interesting thoughts. It just ranges from very minute to more like big picture. And the dog has made the cameo.
Hello. The Suki has made the appearance.
Welcome to Just Weebs again. Your second pod. Yeah. Right? Because she's
so unhappy.
She's just like, I don't like that you guys aren't covering the Hunter x Hunter anime. I'm appalled.
Anime only.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Waiting for the anime. So there will be spoilers. I think that's unavoidable. Like, cause we have to talk about the new stuff. So
yeah, and that's why we're here. Okay. So I will go back. So just to go back a bit. This is a great example. I've recently started watching Hunter x Hunter, like 12th episode. So yeah, I'm gonna avoid the spoilers, but so far I'm loving it. We love that for you, and we don't want to spoil the rest.
Definitely going to spoil a lot here. But, like, one of the things I did want to talk about, like, in a non, like, definitely doesn't, man, I don't know if you could avoid spoilers with that, but I did want to focus on the Hunter x Hunter discourse, because I feel like you've definitely been all over the discourse, like, you know, kind of, like, all the common things and whatever they're said. I just kind of just consumed the thing, and that was it.
As you do, and as you should, which is like,
so yeah, as the peak way to enjoy something,
self-preservation.
Yeah. It's a healthy method, but I wanted to kind of like pick your brain about that, but I don't know if that can just be something that naturally comes up later and dig in. Yeah.
That's a good way to start. What did you want to know? Or do you want to, should I start off summarizing it?
I feel like what are the most common things? I guess we'll start with the most common things you hear in discourse. Is that too broad still? Do you have to keep narrowing it down?
I think I will summarize it and then you can let me know. So I think Hunter x Hunter has been in a very interesting spot in the community since I finished it in 2015 in finals week of senior year of college. I always bad timing for watching something, but I loved it. And then I just binged 148 episodes in a week when I should be studying for finals. But
that's the best time.
That's the
best time to get anime done.
It was like a really cool college moment where I'm watching it with like my college weeb friends while we're supposed to be studying. Everyone's kind of like half moved out of their college apartments. Everyone's getting ready for graduation. It felt like we're at the end of a journey. So let's start another journey. Yeah. So it was great. Cool. Yeah. It was fun time. So I watched it then and I was like vaguely online, not terminally online like I am now. I was only like part-time online.
You hadn't reached your final form yet. Now you're here.
Yeah. For better or worse, but I kind of like knew of Hunter x Hunter because people would recommend it and I would see it online, but I feel like it was kind of at that point where it was still kind of fresh in the community. So people liked it, but it didn't, at least because of the 2011 anime, like obviously it's been in the community longer with the like 99 anime and the manga, but like I felt at least for like the latest generation of weebs who had gotten into it, it was kind of like fresh on their mind. And a lot of people liked it a lot, but it still wasn't at the point where it had like, I'll say like a reputation. Like there wasn't a reputation for Hunter x Hunter fans at that time. And I think it's kind of gained popularity in the larger scope of the community and even people like outside the community who have only seen like, you know, one or two anime or be, you know, like more casual audience, so to speak.
Yeah.
Because, you know, since 2015, it got an English dub, an English release. It was on Toonami. You know, it started being kind of like more of a, I'll say more of like a household name, like Miles Garrett. He's a really big, famous player on the Browns. He would like show up in an interview in the year he was drafted with like a Hunter x Hunter shirt on, you know, like that kind of visibility that I don't think it really had before, that it kind of got like in the minds of people more. So it's kind of grown since then. And I feel like now Hunter x Hunter is at a weird part where it's like, some people still consider it underrated or underappreciated because it's not as popular or as well known as Naruto. But at the same time, it's discussed almost just as much and arguably held to a higher level of like critical acclaim. So it's in this weird like over underdog situation where a lot of fans think they're the underdogs, but I think they've kind of lost underdog status. You know, if you look at like any kind of social media site, like it's not an unknown property. Lots of people love it. It's not getting shit on like so many other series. And I think I saw some like Twitter thing where it was like the most like based on like any Twitter, like the group I'm in or like, you know, a group I'm associated with, like people voted on their top 10 series and it got number one. So it's not the underdog anymore. And the detractors are, you know, vocal, but small in number. So it's like, it's one of the most acclaimed series. It's really popular. It's just like a really common property at this point. But some people, I think, still kind of think it's like, it's not. I think they still think it's kind of like underappreciated when it's arguably the most appreciated.
I feel like Hunter x Hunter is one of the rare like battle shonens that like strikes a happy medium of like being like popular, like not the most popular, but popular enough while also being like highly like critically acclaimed, where it means that like it's known and it's like has a big fan base. It's not explosive like Naruto, Bleach, or like One Piece, possibly due to the breaks, possibly, you know, influence because it's been on and off the scene. But like it backs it up by being like, there's not like many holes people can poke in it because it's really good. So
I can see it being frustrating if you're not a fan of Hunter x Hunter, and then if people, I can understand the frustration for them, and then I can, you know, as a Hunter x Hunter fan, kind of understand another source of frustration that it's not as popular as them. But also, to their credit, very few things are that popular. Like we're seeing it now with kind of like Demon Slayer and Chainsaw Man, but like few things really get like an Attack on Titan, I guess, but like things aren't always overwhelmingly popular, but that also doesn't mean like, you know, they're not as good as other things. So I think this is a good way of putting it. Hunter x Hunter discourse can be extreme and tribalistic like many shonen fan bases, but I've noticed that in Hunter x Hunter, rather than celebrating both arcs, people continue to debate York New versus Kimera Ant. And that's like always a source of frustration. I probably contributed to that because I think a lot of times, it's not all the time, but like sometimes I've seen like the like a common sentiment I'll see is like, I'm not really big on Chimera Ant because of like A, B, and C. I like York New a lot more. And that's frustrating to me because I like York New a lot, but I'm like, why don't you just praise it on its own? It always feels like sometimes people praise York New because they don't like Chimera Ant instead of just saying, I like York New, you know? And I know there are people who like both and like York New, but like I've seen that kind of phrasing so often that that gets kind of frustrating. So I agree, because then it just leads into weird like arc debates.
Yeah, I think like not being involved in it, just sort of like my perspective on that is I think from what I've seen, maybe just like people just say, hey, this is my favorite arc, blanket statement. And a lot of people tend to see like it might be Chimera Ant. And so they kind of try to say, well, mine is York New, you know, and so because they probably see the common comparison is, well, this is like the top arc of all time or my favorite arc.
Yeah.
Then they feel like they have to say like, well, no, that's not my favorite. My favorite's this one, or I don't feel the same way. So
yeah, but it gets like really weird to see, and it gets like tip for comparison. Like you don't really see that kind of weird competitiveness with like Berserk. Like people with Berserk are just kind of like, yeah, all these arcs are great. We're kind of like, you know, you might like this one more than this one, and maybe people get competitive sometimes. But for the most part, they're just like, yeah, you like that one, that's cool. I like this one, that's cool. So I don't know.
I just feel like it's probably because. And this is just like me guessing here, like probably because like Hunter x Hunter feels like much more varied than Berserk. Like Berserk, you're following like mostly like it has its own different arcs and stuff and like different stuff that happens within, but you're mostly following like Guts. Whereas in Hunter x Hunter, like you split off like different perspectives and you have like a whole arc where you don't like deal with Kurapika at all or something like that. But then you're dealing with a kind of something entirely different that feels even like a different genre.
Yeah, that's really true. It's very varied, like arc to arc. Like you're getting almost like a different series every arc.
Yeah. And what I feel like is, this is something I've been thinking about a lot recently, why like Hunter x Hunter might not be as like popular as some of these other bigger like shonens. One of the reasons might be that it's harder to encapsulate Hunter x Hunter and how good it is in like a very easy to understand way. You have to kind of like watch it, get invested into it, and like see it really get going before, like you have to experience it, like plain and simple, before you can really understand, oh, this is really good. Versus like Bleach, you know, Shinigami guy gets powers, now he's hunting them down. That's enough to get you started. One Piece, pirates, Grand Line, treasure, become the Pirate King, done.
Yeah.
Naruto, I want to be Hokage, ninjas. Yeah. So it's kind of like easier.
I think it's also like, I think also on the surface, there's not really that much that it's doing differently than other series until you kind of like get deeper in it, kind of as you said. So I think sometimes, I guess to your point, like the appeal isn't that apparent off the bat.
Yeah, because I remember when I first watched Hunter x Hunter, like I think I mentioned this on an old pod a long time ago, but like I basically recommended it to someone else, even though I had never watched it. And so like they were like, I saw them really enjoying it and they were like deep in like episode 40 and they were like, yo, you were right. This, I didn't think much at first, but this is really good. And I'm like, shit, I want to know what they're feeling. So I watched it.
You mean my recommendation was good? I should understand what I'm talking about. I love this. Yeah.
So cause I had heard it's good, but I didn't like really know. And then like when I watched it, I wasn't like really impressed by the first arc. I didn't really get like, you know, it was kind of hard to see the, like, I didn't think it was bad, but I also, there wasn't anything standout for me until like, you know, you start getting to Heaven's Arena and like really getting into like more of the world. So that was like, but that took a while. That took a little bit. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, yeah, it's definitely a whole experience. I think, you know, I feel like I've seen almost every take you can have on Hunter x Hunter at this point. I think I'm just, at this point, you know,
desensitized, I'm jaded,
but in a good way. Like, I don't want to get too invested in people not liking Hunter x Hunter, but I'm just kind of glad to see, I don't know. I feel like, you know, even to like kind of to this comment, just Jake, said to see the discourse on how the art is bad in Hunter x Hunter, yet most of what people share are from scans and not the finalized versions of the volumes. Yeah. I feel like I've seen like the full wave of kind of like disrespecting Togashi's just like, you know, his health issues, criticizing the art, to kind of like coming around to appreciate him and the art, especially unfortunately after Miura's passing. I think even though some people are still not really as empathetic as they were, I think a lot of people are a lot more empathetic with creators after seeing like how health issues really do like impact them. So I feel like it's cool to see Togashi come back, and it's, I feel like people are a bit more open to appreciate the art he does, and especially the like the changes he makes in the volumes to, from like the scans, which is like, you know, when they originally publish it in Weekly Shonen Jump versus the volumes, which are like, you know, the manga volumes you buy. Like he does a lot of changes in between those, kind of like night and day differences. So
yeah, kind of like anime when they're like airing weekly and then you get the Blu-ray and then they do the fixes. I'm like, oh, I didn't know he did that. And I noticed that in like one of the volumes I was reading last night. He was like, oh, I did all new dialogue boxes. I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And it makes sense because he's like on a time crunch. So he's just trying to get it out. And then it's like, okay, let me refine it. But yeah, and I think there was just a lot of misinformation too, like back in the day, like of like Togashi's health, like, and like a lot of memes, a lot of jokes. So it wasn't like really, you weren't really too sure like why he was going on hiatus. Like you kind of got hints about it, but it wasn't like too out in the open. And now that you kind of know, it's like, oh, okay. Like it's actually like genuinely serious. So
yeah, there's also always this like, kind of the memes that he just wants to like sit around and play video games, but they, and then Miura also had those memes too. And I think everyone's kind of realized at this point, like, you know, just how grueling the industry is. And that like, if someone has health issues and it's wild, and like, well, if they have health issues, it's because they're working wild amount of hours. And it's because, you know, like these aren't lazy people. If you're a mangaka in this industry, you're not a lazy person. Like, because they work like ridiculous hours. They're pretty much just driven by passion, especially when you get to this level of success. Like if, you know, Togashi is a very successful mangaka, if he wanted to, he could retire. But the fact that he's still out there, even with his own injury, like making it painful, like you can tell he's motivated by passion, which I respect, even though I do feel bad that like this situation is hard.
Yeah, you can tell he really like likes the world he's building and he really wants to finish the story. And I think this is like probably a good transition point to kind of get into like the new stuff and spoilers. Yeah. So, you know, if you're not caught up, if you haven't read from like chapter specifically 340 to 392, we're going to be talking about everything within that, all the post anime stuff. So that's my disclaimer, our disclaimer, spoilers. But yeah, like, cause like, as I'm reading, experiencing like Dark Continent, like I'd heard things, but like fully for the first time, like it is ambitious. It is like crazy. Like how, like, this is probably even more ambitious than Chimera Ant, just because like a lot of stuff that's going on isn't even the main stuff yet, is building up to like something like, larger.
Like, I don't know if, I don't know how long it's been. You might know me. We saw Hisoka and the Phantom Trope in the last chapter. I think without exaggeration, it might be at least 20 to 30 chapters since we've seen them.
I think you're right. It just didn't feel like that long for me.
Yeah, at least 30 like, for skipping Hisoka. And that's like, and he's a major player in this arc.
You
know what?
No, you are, you're right, because let me see. Because the Hisoka Krolo fight happened after the Dark Continent arc ended, and that was like in the like it was like 350 to 360. Yeah, you're right. Like 32 chapters.
Yeah, and I was like, and we saw Hisoka for the first time. Like I was like, holy shit! I haven't seen him in this manga in so long. I'm so happy.
Yeah, I had to and think then, about like the time, like how it's like how long it's been for chapters been, like, to release.
Genuinely, like 5 years, maybe more.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of which, I just like talking about this in general, but this is a good like vehicle to talk about it. So most of the time, I've done my share of like weekly manga reading, and I've mostly complained about it because I feel like, you know, binging it like you did is probably the preferred approach because you retain information and names and like, you know, you just get a good sense of everything. Whereas reading weekly is generally kind of tough because it either feels more drawn out than it is, or it just can be kind of a grind. But the one exception is reading the Hisoka and Krolo fight weekly, which is without a doubt the best manga experience I've had. Like,
okay,
without a doubt.
I think I'm going to have to agree with that for probably different reasons, but
okay.
So I don't know if you want to, did you want to elaborate more on why?
Sure. So I remember I was reading, you know, the Hisoka versus Kurolo fight came out. Everyone was freaking the fuck out because up until that point we heard like, oh yeah, so we got Luorio, Kurapika, like we're getting on the boat, like new chapter. Oh, by the way, Heaven's Arena, we're going to see Hisoka and Kurolo finally fight after having that teased for like hundreds of chapters. So we're like, okay, let's go. So I was posting on like the Hunter Hunter Reddit at this time. And like everyone was just making predictions over what was going to happen. And it was like a week to week. Everyone was like analyzing everything, making their predictions. Like no one knew. Like there's so many fights where you can like kind of predict what will happen. Like, you know, someone will win. Or you have a good sense because they're both based on who's more relevant to the story. You know, it's not even the good guy versus bad guy. It's like, who's more relevant? But Hisoka and Kurolo are both like equally relevant in Hunter Hunter. So it could have gone either way. And since they've both been considered antagonists at some point, you're like, you can't really tell who's going to win. So everyone was just going so hard, analyzing every little detail. And as you know, like in that fight, they introduce a new power for Kurolo. So half the time you're trying to figure out what happens, and the other time and the other half you're trying to figure out what will happen. Yeah. I think, and that was the point where, you know, at that point I didn't really know who I wanted to win personally. Like, who was I rooting for? And that whole section made me a Hisoka fan. Like, that is when he became my guy. I was rooting for him nonstop. And then the way that fight turned out, no one predicted, as evident by like everyone in the thread, no one predicted that. Yeah. And I absolutely love it. I love what happened with that. I love how, you know, there is a definitive winner and loser, but not the way you'd think. And I love that so much.
Yeah. I have a few questions. So, well, first of all, that actually sounds like the ideal way to experience it. That sounds super fun. That's what I needed while I was reading it. The play-by-play breakdown, the time to digest it. But I'm like, I need to finish this fucking manga.
Oh, no.
And I'm going through chapters and I'm like, I don't know what the fuck is going on. Why are they explaining this and going back to back and showing me arrows and showing me diagrams? And I'm like, make this easier to understand. And that was one of those moments where I had to be like, okay, I'm not going to fully get it. I'm going to roll with it. Vibes. I'm just going to keep going. I'm just going to see the results.
It's like sometimes you got to trust the vibes and keep moving forward.
Because like that one moment where like Hisoka like went back and like he realized that Kurolo was not doing what he thought he was doing. He was actually using the other ability in between. So then he was like stopping to rework it in his mind. Like, oh no, he's using convert hands first. And then he's using that to do the sun and moon. And then I'm like, oh my God. Okay. Just keep rolling.
Like, he like introduced three new powers. You think it's going one way, and by the time you figured out what the powers are, Hisoka and you kind of in real time are like, no, that's not what he's doing. He's actually doing this. So, I mean, it does put us in Hisoka's point of view like very well, because we're like, what the fuck is going on? And so is Hisoka. But it's also just like absolutely, it's really difficult to follow. Anyone who downplays how difficult to follow it is, like, it's not impossible, but it is very difficult to follow.
And I'm not like trying to like just complain about it. Like want to like take my time, like understand it, like do the math to his abilities. But I'm like, come on, man.
If you ask me right now to perfectly explain what happened in that fight, I would not be able to.
Okay, so basically what he did.
No, you're so I was like,
that was like yesterday. Today was different. I pulled out the whiteboard.
Did we get a whiteboard and we're like, so he did this and then this. And then I'm just here being like, okay, Hisoka took this guy's head off and used it as a bowling ball.
That was dope. And I like the commentary from Togashi afterward where he's like, yeah, bowling. Or like, I used to do bowling, so I thought it'd be fun. And then he did like the little thing where he explains that like the weight of a human head is like the same as like a bowling ball. So I'm like, oh, that's why it's hurting him. Okay. Yeah. Makes sense.
It's so cool. I like this too. Jay said, what I like about the Hisoka versus Kurolo fight is that we see it from his point of view. So the first time the odds are stacked against him and we get a glimpse of his genius intellect.
I mean, I always, first, before I get into it, what was the switch in your mind? At what point in the fight was it like, okay, Hisoka's my boy? Like,
I think it's when it looks like, okay, because they give you a couple fake outs. I think it was around chapter. So the whole thing, I think, is 5 chapters long. Don't quote me
on
that.
Yeah, I think.
5 or 6. 6 might be the resolution of the fight, but like the fight itself, I think, is 5 chapters. It was about like 3 to 4. You get a couple fake outs. We were like, okay, Hisoka has the upper hand. No, Krollo has the upper hand. I think it was when Hisoka got the second upper hand. And I'm like, I knew Hisoka would win. He's more important. Like, we don't need Krollo. We don't need him. Yeah. And then it's like, that's when what you described, where it's like, actually, Krollo is doing this other thing the whole time. And I'm like, no, not my boy. And that's when I was like, wait, no, I'm actively rooting for Hisoka to win. I don't want him to die. I don't want him to lose. Yeah. And that's when I'm like, okay, this is hype. But when I think he became, this is what is really cool about what happens in this fight. Is, I guess I'm spoiling it. I'm spoiling it for everyone. If you didn't get it by now.
We already said spoilers.
Okay.
Disclaimer.
I'm overtly saying what happens. After he loses and like legally essentially dies, he does, his heart stops, I think. And then he does the, like then after death that like starts his heart again.
Yeah.
Like before Hisoka died, he wasn't a character. He was a static character. You know, he's that like, agent of chaos. He's kind of just in it for the thrills. Like he's really dedicated to fighting stronger opponents, but he's just essentially this very chaotic person whose whims change on a dime. And he didn't need to grow from that. He didn't need to change. He perfectly served his role in the story, just being how he was. But after he died, he's like, yeah, fuck this shit. I'm taking all of them down. I don't need to win in a fair fight. I'm taking them all down.
You like the pettiness.
You like
the savagery. Just like, yeah. you just became a boss. I'm like, you know what? Nah.
He went on, you know, his character motivations completely changed. And now he's like, yeah, I'm going to track them down. He's going to hunt them down one by one and take them out. And so he's actually gone through character development, and he's a character who doesn't need to change. He's still essentially that same agent of chaos, but now he's actually got that like evil edge to him, which makes it really interesting to see what he's going to do.
I like his new look, even though I think it's just part of the camouflage. It's not going to say, you know, he's going to put the clown makeup by the end, but it's obvious, I guess, to you that I was rooting for Hisoka the whole time. I've always liked Hisoka.
You've been his strongest soldier since day one.
Yep. I mean, he's like the most interesting character because, the one thing, though, like about the fight was that, like, before this, I always thought Bungee Gum was brilliant with how, how many applications it has and how flexible it is for someone like him. That's like a battle strategist to like use in many different ways, like to his advantage. But like in this battle with Krollo was like the first time that I felt like, yo, this ability is kind of limited.
Maybe you should have gotten a book and bookmarks and had like 5 different.
Yeah. Different powers. Literally Krollo's like the way he fights is like a TCG, like a card game. Like I think he makes a joke about that in the beginning. Huh?
He brought mods.
He was just like, all right, I'm gonna put my card in defense mode. Then I'm gonna activate this card, that card. Like he's running a control deck, guys.
Oh my God.
But I was like, oh man. So it was tough. And I was really surprised that Hisoka died. Really surprised, but I didn't feel like he was actually dead. So then he comes back and I can't be mad about it. Like, cause I think for Togashi, like it's more interesting to keep him alive.
Of course.
Like, way more interesting.
Cause at the end of that fight, who really feels like a loser? Krollo lost two of the spiders, and as people have like talked about before, but we haven't talked about, like, you know, Krollo doesn't have a lot of like explicit writing, but one of the more popular, I guess, not like theories, but like interpretations of him from, of course, like friend of the show, our bestie AJ, is that like Krollo sees the spider as an extension of himself. So by Hisoka taking out the two powerless spider phantom trope members whose powers he had borrowed, he's taking out a part of Krollo. So by the time the entire fight is over, Hisoka might have lost, but he doesn't really feel like a loser. Like we see Krollo on the boat and he looks just like fundamentally devastated. So
that's the one thing I did not remember from the previous new stuff was the spiders. And by the way Hisoka just savagely killed them like so easily was
brutal.
Awesome. And brutal, but awesome. From the previous stuff, like those particular spiders, though, they were actually close to Krollo growing up, right? Like they were like, or were they not? Because
I think one of them was like his second, arguably second in command, Shallan Arc. Okay. One with the phone. Yeah. He was like a big dude.
Because some of the other ones that they hire and bring on aren't particularly close to them. They just kind of just join, right? Like,
yeah, cause, I think like, so.
Because now they just, they got on Killua's brothers in there. So yeah, I'm like,
Lumi and Kaluto.
I don't see, I can't see Krollo being like torn up about like if they died, for example. So, you know, like, is it really all the spiders or is it really because they were like the OG crew that were like, you know, part of his spiders that Gana got killed?
That's a good question. I think it might be part of the like Meteor City crew. Maybe that's who it is. But
yeah,
it's a tough call because we haven't seen enough of the spider members die. And the ones who did die were really close to Krollo. So like,
yeah,
it's a tough call.
We'll have to see.
At least the people who have been there longer than like Lumi and Kaluto.
How did you feel about, and I think we'll just like move on like after this. Like it was really cool that he had like, Togashi had like two villains fight each other, super hype. Definitive, you know, ending. Now Hisoka knows where he stands against like actually stacking up against Krollo. But what did you think about him leaving Machi alive?
Well, what's interesting is at first I read that and I was like, okay, that makes sense. You know, Krollo, I mean, Hisoka always kind of had like a crush on Machi because she was really powerful. And like, you know, they had that like, they had a dynamic that was like different than him with other people. Like they're not friends, but they're like, you know, they have their own dynamic. I'll put it that way. You know?
Yeah.
So I was like, whatever. Then I saw that that Togashi considered having him kill her there. And then at the last minute changed his mind. So I think that's an interesting writing decision, but
yeah,
I've unfortunately also seen a lot of really cute fan art for them. So like, I'm not saying I ship them in like canon, but like, they're really cute.
Hey, I'm biased too.
You get it. Everyone
I was just like, I don't want to, you know, maybe they're like, Hisoka doesn't feel anything here. So I don't want to, you know, ship it when there's nothing here, but hey, he did leave her alive. Although there's no way she's not going to want to fucking kill him now. Like exactly. I've never seen her that angry.
Yeah. She made that face. That's like when they make the like dot, like when, did you see the like Spy Family episode when like Yor like growls at the like guys with the dog?
I think so. Yeah.
Exaggerated, like they look like they're growling like a dog. It's like that thing.
Yeah. No, she looked really angry. But yeah, so that was like a preview of what was to come in terms of text boxes and new stuff being introduced. And then like we got all the other, like it really got more into the other arc on the ship, which is now like pretty much Kurapika's arc. Like it has all the other characters, but it's really centered on Kurapika. And definitely makes me feel like in the grand scheme of this whole giant arc that we're not going to see Gon and Killua for a long time.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see them in this arc besides like the phone call to Killua that we saw.
I feel like Gon's story, though, I feel like it's kind of done.
I think it's mostly done, but I could see them coming back at like the end of the story. Maybe not in this specific arc, but this arc is quite literally every living character minus Gon, Killua, and like Alika. Like we got like Jin and Pariston. They're major players. The entire Zodiac, major players. Beyond Netero, who was a big deal at the beginning of this arc, but I've forgotten about because it's been so long. Like everyone associated with the Hunters Association. We got the Phantom Trope. We got Kurapika, and then we have this whole continent like royalty system, the mafia of the royalty system, the bodyguards, and then like just the kids who are like the prince and princess. I guess they're all called princes even if they're female.
Yeah,
like all of
which is cool,
which is cool because I'm like, you know, it is what it is, but like it's cool. But it is quite literally everyone but Killua and Gon, which I'm okay with because as you said I feel like their stories are functionally over. They could come back, but I don't need more of them. I feel very content with where they left off. But most of these characters we haven't seen in a while. I forgot to mention Luyorio because Togashi forgets Luyorio. I'm just saying. But, you know, I've always
felt that way. But
he always forgets about him, even when he introduces him. I'm like, bring my boy back. Bring him back.
I think that's the interesting thing about Hunter x Hunter, which we were saying earlier, which makes it like hard to like, I guess, people to grasp like without having experienced it, is I started to think that like, this has probably obviously been said before, but like that these four characters are just a way to use them as perspectives to like dive into other types of stories. And then like you can switch off, and then just having them connected by having that bond of friendship like they formed at the beginning is like that way of kind of keeping them tangentially connected, but have it like expand the world through each of their perspectives instead of having them stick together like in Yu Yu Hakusho, where they were always kind of like together.
Yeah, and that's one of the things where it's like very different from Yu Yu Hakusho, where like Yu Yu Hakusho had like the gang every time. Yeah. And I was cool with that. I like how it worked in Yu Yu Hakusho, but I'm also content with how it works for now. But I do want more Leorio. He's on the boat. Show him. Do it.
He's been cool so far. He brought in Kurapika. He did one other thing.
He's saving lives. He's a doctor now.
You know what's funny? They keep showing that tier where he's at, but they don't show him. They just like, they show tier three. They show like, but he's just not there.
That's like, show him.
They have been enjoying the breakdowns of the boat, you know, like all the tiers and where everyone's at.
Classism. It's such an involved political system. Cause we get this. Tell me if I'm right. Cause I don't remember. So you're the expert now. I think the king is still alive. He's got like, I don't remember how many kids, at least like 9 or 12. It might be 12. I don't care. Probably more. I feel like there's 12 that are relevant. He has 12 princes, and they put their, they essentially summon Nen beasts, which are functionally stands. Oh,
14.
Wow.
14 princes.
Close.
Yeah.
I was so close. Oh my God. I was really just like guessing numbers. So they essentially,
I mean, you're kind of right. Cause it's like two already died. So.
Yeah. So damn.
Spoiler.
They gone. So they have like, they summon Nen beasts. So they can't really use Nen, but they essentially have stands, which they can't see, but will protect them. But other people can see them. And so we have just like, everyone has Nen. Some people can't use it. Some people can use it, but they're pretending they can't use it. And it's causing havoc on the boat. So it's like Kurapika and the other bodyguards that have been hired are trying to keep their princes alive from the other bodyguards, but also from the mafia who is related to the princes, which is just like a whole nother level of the criminal system. And they've been hired to take each other out. So it's like we have like the people chilling on the first level, and then the other levels are trying to, we see like the commoners, everyone who's like on this boat for some godforsaken reason. I know it's to go to the Dark Continent arc and some people didn't have a choice, but like like they're just sitting ducks. And
they're trying to get to the Dark Continent arc.
They're trying to get to the arc. And so you have now these mafia groups that are serving some of the princes trying to take each other out. So we have layers to it. But to make it more confusing, one of the mafia leaders who is on the latest cover, her Nen ability is to give other people Nen abilities.
Okay, so I had to reread that bubble like 4 or 5 times because I just couldn't wrap my head around it. And maybe it was the way it was worded, but it was just like, if she like kisses them, they will multiply. Yep. And I'm like, so they're going to... Because we just had a whole scenario, at least for me, because I was binging, about doppelgangers and multiplying each other's bodies. So I'm like, oh, so they're going to like, they have the ability to literally multiply. And it's like, oh, no, that's not what they meant. She just gives them the ability to level up. And that was it.
Yeah.
Like,
she lets.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because you know better than I do. So she gives them a Nen ability, and then they're able to level that up.
Yeah. So she that's gives them an ability that doesn't do anything until it gets to level 20, and the only way to get to level 20 and unlock the actual Nen ability is to kill people.
Yeah,
so now they're on killing sprees. So yeah,
so they're just trying to wipe everyone out.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of confusing because there's so much going on, which is why I don't blame people for being confused.
Well, here's the other thing that makes it like kind of confusing too, to tie more like back into the whole political aspect and the hierarchy thing. It's like, oh, by the way, all these mafia bosses are actually connected to the king because they're like Like, she's like an illegitimate child of the king. And then they go into the whole explanation of like what happens to illegitimate children and like how they're never supposed to be like public figures. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Cause she's connected to the real, like, he's the real, he's not a dark horse. Everyone knows about him. I've been calling him Terrorist Sandwich for 5 years, but you know who I'm talking about.
Oh, the fourth prince. Yeah. The guy that can pretty much, he has the really creepy Nen beast and can pretty much stop time.
He's like an actual serial killer before getting Nen. And then he gets a Nen ability and he shows infinite potential. So the person who has to introduce him to Nen is like, I'm in trouble. Like, this is really bad.
Yeah. That's such an interesting subplot, actually.
Yeah. So, and he is the one with like the horse Nen ability where like, it's just like, he's creepy. He's just like literally the creepiest character. And like everyone who's read up until this point has seen what's happened thus far. And he's somehow the creepiest dude in the series.
So I got to say, like, Togashi's doing a really good job with that, because like, as soon as I saw he had like Nen potential to instantly get it, I was just like, or even when I saw his Nen beast that like was kind of powerful, I was just like, okay, he's going to be the one to win. He's going to be like the real, like, big bad, like, he's the one. But
he's
then,
the real antagonist. Yeah.
But then it keeps revealing the other Nen beasts of the other ones, and like their abilities are broken. Like the whole thing with the ninth now, the ninth prince.
I know his name. He's kind of cool. He is
Hockenberg. Hockenberg.
Yeah, I like Hockenberg. He's
Hockenberg,
cool.
Yeah.
He's the one who goes in on, like, he rolls up on his dad with a gun, and his dad is like, whatever.
Yeah, he's like the only one that has like a sense of justice, and that's not twisted for, you know, from what we know. But yeah, but like everybody kind of has like these, like even the first prince, these crazy abilities that I'm just kind of like, okay, it's really hard to tell now who's going to be the one, like, because this can kind of now be
go
any of these
way.
Guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
And because, so
No, go ahead.
No, that was it.
Because, I think the fourth prince, I don't know how to say his name. I've been calling him Terror Sandwich for so long, I can't think of it.
I never even tried to pronounce his name. Yeah. Zerendik? I don't know.
Zerendik. That sounds vaguely intimidating. So he's obviously going to be, not obviously, I'm not going to say obviously, because as you said, we have no idea, but they are very much heavily hinting at him being Kurapika's final boss, because Kurapika has essentially at this point, you know, he's trying to hunt down the eyes of his clan. He's not so much going after the troop, the Phantom Troop at this point. He's not really like actively going after them. He's more so gathering the eyes of his.
You mean he's not actively going after like actually the troop, because he doesn't know they're on the ship.
Yeah, he doesn't know. Like his whole like the role he's serving in right now. He was trying to find one of the princes because he heard that they have one of the Scarlet Eyes, and we know that the fourth prince has it. So they're trying to set them up as like the final antagonists for each other. But from Kurapika's point of view, he's not actively trying to get revenge on people. He is like purely serving to defend the baby prince that he's assigned to guard. So he's not actively going for revenge right now, but they're hinting at that conflict being fourth prince and him.
Yeah, and also, like, I don't know. Also, once the fourth prince unlocked the time ability, it was just like, okay, he might be the one. This is kind of fucked. He basically unlocked King Crimson.
You know what was so funny? This came out, I read that chapter that explained it with the diagram came out right when I had read part 5 manga. And when I read part 5, I was like, okay, King Crimson, whatever. I read this. I'm like, I understand how King Crimson works now because of the Hunter Hunter chapter.
Oh, you don't get how King Crimson works? Okay, just read this chapter of Hunter Hunter.
I say. I'm like, if you don't know how King Crimson works, look at this manga panel from Hunter Hunter.
I do want to.
Oh, that too. He has the head of his childhood friend. Who made an appearance in like a prequel one shot that Togashi wrote that was also shown in the shitty Hunter Hunter movies, but that's just, it's not important. He also has his friend's head. That's just a thing.
What does that mean? Like he owns his head?
Like the head is in a jar. Like, you know how the eyes are in a jar?
Okay.
And they have like that like picture of like him
He has Kurapika's friend's head. Okay, got it.
Yeah. I'll find a picture of it.
I also wanted to highlight this in the chat. Easiest way to think of Mirena's ability is a pyramid scheme designed to cause as much chaos and havoc as possible, reflecting her psychology as an illegitimate shunned by others.
That's cool. She's an Andrew T. Am I allowed to say that as a joke?
You said it.
Multi-level marketing.
We can't edit it out.
Yeah. Let me show you. Let me share my screen.
We got some pronunciation in the chat. Sir Ride Neck.
I like that.
Sir Ride Neck.
How do I share? Flows. My screen? Sharing my screen like this is, you know, work.
Yeah, I almost pulled up the ship map just because we were talking about it so much. We're like, this would be easy to have this visual. There was actually once, speaking of art, yes, we should get a whiteboard. Speaking of art, there was one spread at the beginning of one of the chapters, which was just like crazy. Like it was just like it showed the entire sea, like covered in pitch black darkness. And it was just the whale in the middle. I'm like, this is insane.
This. So you can see his friend's head and then the scarlet eyes. So that based on this, I think he's endgame.
Okay. That's definitely grounds to be pissed off at him.
Not happy. Unhappy with him.
Unhappy camper. It's like, I just want the eyes. You killed my fucking friend. Okay.
You have my friend's head in a jar. Like, I'm going to kill you. That's what Karapika is thinking.
Yeah.
And then...
By the way, I do have to say, this is jumping around, but Karapika's ability not being able to like... Yeah, like... That and like that time where he passed out for like 9 hours after he did all the math, like that's so fucked. Like, just
okay, this is why I'm like Loki. So I don't know if you are behind this or not. I view so part of my probably annoying thing is I view this as the functional continuation to York New. I think this is like York New part two because
sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so no, that was pretty much it.
I was just gonna jump up and agree. I think so too.
Yeah,
because I feel like it's such a. I mean, I don't know what your reasoning is about to be, but for me, it just feels like we haven't seen Karapika in a long time. Like literally, like his own devoted arc was York New. He became a mafia boss after that, and now like it's literally right after that, and the Phantom Troupe is here. Like all the elements from that arc, besides Khan and Killua.
Yeah.
Are here. So.
Yeah, 100%. It's like the very literal, like you said, like, you know, all the players are here. And I also felt like York New kind of felt like, you know, we're going not to use the word hiatus, but it's like the conflict is kind of on hiatus for now, but it's not resolved. So there was a lot of unfinished business from York New that I feel like we're picking up on here from Karapika, Hisoka, Phantom Trope. All of these people, you know, it's all being continued on now, like both thematically and sometimes literally in Hisoka's case. So
that makes a lot of sense.
And that's why I'm so happy that I think it was really cool that we got Karapika's power introduced in York New. And we hear about Emperor Time, which for my own sake, I'm going to recap it as when Karapika's eyes glow red with the scarlet eyes. He's able to become a master of all of the different Nen categories. Like all of the powers he has under them, he's the master of them. So when people heard this, the first time in York New, some people were naturally like, that feels a little bit overpowered and unfair. This doesn't seem like very this doesn't seem very balanced. And then I didn't have that complaint at the time because I'm like, okay, whatever. You take that complaint. Fast forward, 200 chapters or whatever to where we're at now, we find out that every time Karapika uses Emperor Time, each second is a year off his life.
It's not a year, but it's like a day. Like, it's like a day off his life. It was like because he was doing some crazy math. Yeah. He was like, okay, if it's 2 weeks, it's like 360 days or like it was something insane.
It was a large amount of time. Like, I got to double check because it might not be a year per second. That's like.
That would like he'd be dead. Like after those 9 hours, he'd be dead.
If someone remembers before me.
Oh, 1 second equals 1 hour. Chat's got us.
Thank you.
There we go. That actually makes more sense.
Yeah. 1 second equals an hour. But then they said he was passed out like for a day in Emperor Time.
I need a calculator. We need a whiteboard.
I think he came out for like a year.
Calculator, y'all.
I'm doing the math.
I'm doing a calculator.
Yeah, I'm doing the math.
What was it? 9 hours. 9 times 60. That's minutes, right?
Yeah.
Times 60 again.
I'm 60.
That's 32,400. Okay. Divided by. I got lost in my math.
Yeah, me too. Right. I got lost in your math. Because you divided by 60, right?
It's because I was speaking out loud. Because I divided by 60.
I'm reading the wiki. They'll tell us.
All right, we got it.
You can't do math.
9 hours of emperor time equals 3 years, 8 months, 11 days, 21 hours, 22 minutes, 11 seconds, 605 milliseconds.
Chat. Yay.
Yo, chat is the goat.
Because I remember it being he lost years, but I didn't remember how many. So thank you, chat. Look at you.
I never liked math anyway.
Yeah, obviously would not be. I would not have a net ability with net math.
That's why we're talking about literature. There you go.
That's why we're not bringing the math involved. But
So that's insane. That's crazy.
Insane. And I think it's fair to say it is no longer a broken ability.
Yeah. No.
You lose 3 hours after using it for 9 hours. You lose 3 years. It kind of sucks.
It's actually, if you think about it, it is like. Thematically, it's kind of like the perfect revenge ability because usually people that want revenge, they're willing to shave off years off their life. And that's like the trade-off. 100%. Kind of reminds me of from the recent Chainsaw episode, Hayakawa with his devil ability.
Yeah. Or kind of like Gutch with the berserk armor.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just really cool to see because it might be. Well, everything is kind of hard to remember. Maybe I'm just exposing myself by being like, sometimes it can be hard to remember. But when we were first introduced to Nen, we were essentially told you can learn it the old fat, like the quick way, quick and dirty way, as they put it, where someone with a Nen aura like unlocks it in you, which is the quick shortcut way to do it, which is what Karapika, Killua, and Gon did. And they learn their Nen abilities very quickly because of their potential. And in Karapika's case, he learned the shortcuts and conditions needed to make his ability more powerful. But the old-fashioned way is like through years of hard work and training, which I'm going to guess Lurio did because we saw that. So Karapika has been shortcutting Nen abilities this whole time. It's not sustainable. It's not healthy for him. He's been doing this kind of stuff from the get-go to try and achieve his goals as quickly as possible.
Yeah, like did they ever go over what are the repercussions for doing that? Or like, because all I've gotten so far is that you might get a lot of fatigue, but are there any like does it like damage your body?
Reach your full potential. And I mean, not necessarily for Gon and Killua, they got like Nen unlocked, but like, you know, it's presumed that developing your abilities will take longer, and we did see that with Gon and Killua because their abilities are a bit more organic. You know, they thought on them, they developed them. They're not built upon conditions. Like, I can only use this one ability at this certain time, or I can only use these one by one, or I can only use my abilities on certain people. You know, that's how Karapika's abilities have become strong, because they're all focused. Well, some of them are spider only related, so he can't use them on like most of the populations.
Okay, that makes sense. So it's so it's very, very narrow. Yes. But for his purposes, that's all he needs.
Exactly. So it's very much like his purposes are revenge and that's it.
Yeah. There was something else. No, let's keep moving.
Keep moving forward on the boat.
Yeah. Actually, speaking of which, I'm happy that they brought Biscuit back. Everyone's here. Everyone's here.
The whole gang is here. And someone mentioned in chat, because our chat is coming in clutch, that they were like, I'm so glad they brought back Karapika's Nen teacher. That's someone I never thought we'd see again, but I was totally cool with them coming back too.
Yeah. That was definitely a moment of like, I don't remember who this is, but I'm going to act like I do. Like, this is definitely his teacher. I totally remember him.
And I think they got Hanzo from the Hunter's Exam, the bald ninja.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who fought Gon. That was cool. And of course, Melody, we got to see her power for the second time, but they have that really cool spread of like her calming down everyone by playing the flute.
I was happy to see Melody. I'm like, of course she'd want to help them get out. Of course. It's Melody.
A lot of people going on this boat for Karapika. And I would not go on this boat.
No. Yeah, someone just literally said it. I'm worried that Kurapika's friends will die on the voyage. Imagine the eternal guilt he will feel bringing them along.
I mean, can he get much lower? Can he get sadder? That's my question.
No. I guess you're right. I mean, you know what? He was kind of already starting to feel it, like, at the beginning of the arc when he realized, like, okay, these are the last eyeballs I need to get. Like, he was just like, you know, I've kind of sacrificed everything, like, what's after this? Am I going to be able to start my actual adventure? So it's like, he's feeling it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be sad, but in a good way.
It's going to be sad in a good way.
Yeah. But I'm glad the whole gang is here. We get to see more Nen abilities. We get to see them fight. Cause I don't actually think we're going to see them die. If we are going to see them die, I think it's not going to be for a while.
I was actually kind of sad. Yeah, I definitely don't think it's going to be for a while. I think a lot of them will reach the Dark Continent. I think that's where shit's like going to really hit the fan like and go down. But I was actually sad to see that the two prince girls, the not twins, but like the sisters, like the one like died. Insane. Yeah, like the
that
one
was like
died.
A chilling chapter. Is it just or is this, has this been a very, as much as this has been like political thriller with the mafia, you know, killing spree going on, it's also had a lot of like horror elements, which I know Togashi is really inspired by a lot of horror film. Like there were a lot of like horror psychological elements going on for me.
Yeah. So like I felt that too. And I don't know if it's because I just recently like watched like four horror movies almost back to back over the weekend. So like I was like in the mode of just like, okay, this is horror. But yeah, like body horror stuff, just like all these elements in there. A lot of it, like some stuff kind of did remind me of like some stuff like JoJo or like, or even, you know, like you see some of the panels and you're like, huh, okay, this is definitely like straight out of like something they would have in JoJo or Berserk or like.
This is a very JoJo inspired arc, if we're being real. Like some of these chapters are straight up JoJo chapters,
and like the Nen beasts, like the criticism. Nen beasts are stands,
they're literally stands. There's even a JoJo reference when what's the ninth prince,
Hockenberg,
like didn't he try and shoot, like not he didn't shoot himself or someone tried to shoot him and his Nen beast caught the bullet like Jotaro style?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was he tried to kill his dad. He tried to kill the king, and the king was just like, nope. And then he tried to shoot. Oh, no. And then he tried to shoot himself, and then his own thing caught it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a Jotaro, like Jotaro Part 3 reference.
Yeah. Huh. You know, there was actually a Yu-Gi-Oh reference, too.
Is it in the latest one? Because there was a like author comic.
Not that long ago, like a few chapters back, but I guess that was a couple years back, back.
But that's still cool because Yu-Gi-Oh is kind of like horror.
Well, like remember the when he unlocked his arrow, the ninth prince unlocked his arrow ability once he found his like resolve, or you know, like he felt like he had to take this succession battle for real. Yeah. He did the arrow at one of the first prince's soldiers.
Yeah.
And the first prince's soldier was like, okay, he activated a Nen ability called Yu-Gi-Oh. Then like a fucking card comes out, and I'm like, and I had to like reread it. I'm like, is it actually called Yu-Gi-Oh?
It's called Yu-Gi-Oh. That's awesome.
And then he just breaks through his defense like it's nothing. And then like, that was it. I was like, damn, can't believe he called it Yu-Gi-Oh.
The Yu-Gi-Oh experience. Oh my God.
I'm glad Togashi's having fun.
Well, it was sad because, you know, the Yu-Gi-Oh mangaka passed away recently.
That's right.
Then Togashi's latest comment was like in tribute of him, which was cool. But it's sad.
But was that, did he name that ability before he passed, or was it? Recent.
I think he did because the recent comment was only like, you know, a couple weeks back.
Yeah. You know, I don't remember who this person is.
I don't remember.
I don't even know how to pronounce it. I don't know. Someone's gonna have to refresh me on that.
Let me look him up. Oh, Darren. Okay, we know them. They're the dude with the flowy hair from the recent chapter. I'll show you a picture.
I know who they are.
I just didn't know who they're.
The dude from the mafia?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, someone did a fan art. That's why. Yeah, they were the dude with the pigeons.
Oh, the guy that turns basically inanimate objects into animals. Why didn't I think of that? That is such a Giorno ability.
I didn't think of that as a Giorno ability either.
Oh.
But like when it was like the first chapter that came back, 391. When we came back with that, my first when it's like the dude is turning his Nen ability is turning his hands into weapons. And then this dude is like, I handcuffed you with the pigeons. I'm like, this is a JoJo chapter. This is just a JoJo chapter.
Alejandra in the chat just says Henry, calls him Henry. So there you go.
Yeah, that works.
You know, it's crazy because I literally had this thought. I wasn't even thinking about too much about like the JoJo influences while I was reading, but I did have this thought yesterday of like how much I love Nen and I've always loved Nen. And then I was just like, it's crazy to think that stands existed before Nen. It's like,
yeah.
Like, yeah. And it's just like, because I feel like stands also tried to be like innovative by not having to deal with like a power creep issue by like having them focus more on strategy and stuff like that. And I feel like Nen also like averts too much of like the power escalation issue too.
Yeah. I mean, it's, there's so many, like, it gets so complicated that it's hard to be kind of like too powerful.
Yeah.
It just kind of like, it's kind of like stuff is just happening at some point and you're like, okay, I don't know how you can be too powerful with the, like, your hand, the pigeons or handcuffs, like that kind of thing. And they were, it's like, they were originally always.
Yeah. I mean, if you have,
but
like,
I turned them into a pigeon. Like,
I mean, the guy with the weapon, like, I love that this Henry guy said literally what I was thinking. The guy comes, like, turns his arm into just like an axe and he just charges at him. And he's like, you have such a useless ability. I'm like, what are you going to do with this? And I was like, that's very true. It's like, it's just your hand turns into a weapon. Why not just get a regular weapon? But
I'm looking up. I'm trying to remember. I feel like I need a family tree of the mafia families. Do we remember where the Akkadian Empire is?
Where it is?
Yeah, I forget where it is on their map.
I don't know. And actually, I got really confused about where. Like the explanation about the Dark Continent, they said like our world is in a lake in the middle of the Dark Continent.
Yes.
Is that actually okay? So the Dark Continent is huge.
Mm-hmm.
So the map that we're seeing sailing to the Dark Continent is really them just sailing to the bigger land surrounding them on all sides. Am I getting that right?
Yes. Someone can.
I'm like,
it's like the world they're in is Hawaii.
Whoa, that's kind of insane.
Yeah.
Huh. I wonder why, like, they never did anything with the Dark Continent. How did they? You know what? I don't even.
Well, Togashi is just like, okay, now we're the Dark. Well, we know like the Chimera ants came from the Dark Continent, and then we know Alika's, you know, her
ability,
other ability, personality is like. From the dark, one of those calamities from the Dark Continent, which is also why how Killua might be brought back in Killua and Alika might be brought back for Dark Continent related things.
Lately, I have been starting to think this stand and Nen benefit for being a vague system that the author could bring abilities for future material. Like, I didn't think that initially. I'm like, oh, Nen explains everything, but now I'm seeing a few abilities and I'm like, okay, this is just like, you know, any ability can kind of exist at this point. You just kind of give it a name. Like when in the recent chapter with the chick that was like punching them and like their inner thoughts were coming out. And then you just put that as emitter. I'm like, we have come I mean, like, it could work, but we have come very far from the volleyball guy in Greed Island using like, you know, the emitter ball, just like a regular just projectile. I thought it was an emitter.
Cause isn't emitter like shoot? I don't know.
The emitter is a shoots things.
Yeah, and I think, always get emitter whenever I take a Nen ability test, and I don't like that because I have poor eyesight, so I don't think I'm like, not the person with aim, so I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's one of the like benefits, like it could seem like a cop-out sometimes, but I think it's part of the cool flexibility of Nen, is able to be adapted.
It's cool that at least it has an explanation to it versus like, yeah, we don't know. We don't know how that worked.
Better than just you get more powerful. Now it's just you do weirder shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think of Nen ability. I mean, like, I feel like everybody can kind of hone their Nen ability to be powerful unless they have like a supportive Nen ability. Then it's like they're not obviously attackers. Although I did like that one guy that's with Kurapika, like Bill. The other bodyguard. Bill. Easy to remember. Bill.
I love Bill. Everyone was saying like best girl Bill when it was like first come. We're like, let's go, Bill. We love Bill.
Bill, I just loved like in one of the recent chapters, he was like, oh, you know, if these guys kind of like went ape shit on us, like Kurapika and I wouldn't stand a chance since I bet he's like not, he doesn't have an attack like me. Like he's not an attacker like me. And I was just like, you don't know.
You don't know. You don't know who the main character is, my dude. Like
you don't even know. Kurapika, that shows that Kurapika has done a really fucking good job of keeping his cards close to the vest. But it is insane, though, the whole plot of Kurapika, like, teaching them Nen while slowly revealing some, like, he has to reveal some stuff about himself that kind of puts him at a disadvantage and sort of, like, weighing, like, what he can say, what he can't say. It's, like, it's just a whole, like, insane setup. And then they're still doubting him.
Yeah, the whole thing is interesting because from what I remember, it's, like, he is having a Nen lesson with all of the bodyguards. But they suspect one of them already knows how to use Nen. So they're trying to find out who can use Nen by also teaching them all.
Yeah. Meanwhile, like, there's also, there's, like, a few guys that purposely don't raise their hand to show that they have Nen. And then, like, there's that other guy, like, that's, like, part of the First Prince's crew that's, like, I can see the actual form of the Nen, so I know who like is what. I'm like, oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah. But
that assassin popping up with the snakes, like completely unexpected.
It's just like, it's been such a wild ride. I think it's just so exciting to see what will happen. Like, I have no expectations. I have no predictions. I'm just like, you know what? I'm just happy to be along for the ride on the giant whale boat in the middle of the ocean.
It's just sad. Like, I feel like what I'm like, honestly sad about is like, it's such an ambitious arc that I know there's just so much more to cover. And I feel like it's going to be a long time.
It's just going to be a while.
Get to see the end of it. Cause I got really immersed, like just reading it yesterday. Oh yeah. Like I felt like I needed this. I'm like, I feel like I haven't gotten a chance. That's the one good thing about binging, like especially like when it's something really good, like you just kind of get lost in it. And I feel like I haven't had that in a while. So I'm like, okay, I'm glad I waited 6 years on this. Like now to consume all of it. Yeah. So it's like, I got like really into like what Togashi is like building here. Cause like, I think I asked like a friend like months ago for like a status report. Like he's still, I think, was reading Hunter x Hunter where I had stopped, like the manga, and I was like, hey, how's the manga? He's like, Nen beast. I'm like, okay.
As if that explains it all.
And that's all he said. And I was just like, but he made it sound like, you know, it's like on a whole other level of complicated. That's what I took it as. And I'm like, God, what am I in for? It just sounds like now they're just making up a whole other thing and whatever. And then when I read about it, like when I was actually reading it, I was just like, I was just so into like the whole lore of the Nen beast and just trying to understand it all and just like trying to piece together who has what and what they're going to do that I didn't even like care that it's like now I'm basically being taught a whole new system of how Nen works. So
when Nen meets stands, it's
exactly.
Yeah.
When Nen means stands and curses.
Yeah. And
yeah.
I'm like, you know, instead of the arrow giving people stands, it's just the mafia boss kissing people.
Or Kurapika shooting them with an injection needle.
Yes. Oh my God, that's too, the dolphin thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That dolphin's like, gonna fuck him over.
Yeah. It's like a wild ass ride. So I like in the last chapter. It's because it was been a while. I like in the last chapter when we saw, I felt like the last chapter was really meta because everyone's running around kind of going crazy. Like some people are getting killed. Some people are killing people. And like you have some of the mafia members being like, we need to find Hisoka and the Phantom Troop. And I felt like that was meta because they're like chasing them around and trying to instigate them into doing stuff. And they have their own plans. And they try and like get them to do stuff. And they're just like, no, we're not getting involved in this. And then the last page is is essentially Nobunaga saying like, fuck around and find out.
It's
just so funny.
Yeah. I thought that was a good way to end the chapter. It was just like, okay, all right, you want to throw hands? Let's go.
Like, because that's like one of those other ones where the dude is like prying the door open to where they're chilling in a full, like, you know, Shining reference kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he's essentially like, this is the funniest thing I've read. I'm going to share this because I cannot. It's just so funny, but it's also like meta funny. And it has to be like some kind of commentary on how like the fandom is waiting for like Ahsoka and the Phantom Troop to show up. But I love when he's like, the like other dude is like, why aren't you guys like slaughtering people? And the Finks is like, we don't do that. Like, what do you know about us? And he's like, the wiki page says you're diabolical thieves. I don't, but I guess it was just exaggerating. Want me to edit your entry for you? And Nobunaga said, go ahead. Just say we show no mercy to dudes who tick us off. It's like just so hard.
Yeah.
It's like no, so that, cool.
That was a really cool delivery. It's like, of course he's not going to, you know, act the way you want. They're just them, you know? So.
Yes.
Yeah. It was really funny. It was a good chapter. I thought I was going to be like really like sad, like to have been like to be caught up or like, crap, now I got nothing else. But I'm like, no, I'm good with this. I'm cool with this.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen next. I'm excited.
Yeah. It's like kind of going in different directions, different directions. Cause even with the, like introduction of, like this guy with escaping through doors, even that was just sort of like, okay, you know, like where is this going? Where is this whole plot going? Because now it's been this like whole focus on that. So, yeah. And it was starting to lose me a little bit in like two chapters before this, when it started like explaining the second prince's like kamikaze, the chicks like she hires that that sort of like curse the other princes and like kind of like kill themselves or something like that.
I think so. It's the second female prince, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She hires like all women who are like have nots. Like they explain it as like they're all have nots, and like the second prince gave them all like rank and all of that. And what did they call them? Like afterlife companions or something? They asked for it to be reinstated. And so now like their duty is like they're assigned a prince and they like curse them like even after death. And like, gotcha. That's like they spend every day like saying curses, like wishing for their death and cursing that prince. And then they're supposed to like die like and still like supposed to curse them in the afterlife.
Gotcha.
So they were like doing that whole explanation for like a chapter or two. And then it finally, like, the conclusion of that was that one of them is going to go to basically Kurapika's room and go kill the 14th prince.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
It's like, so there's just so much going on.
Yeah, that was the part where I was like, okay, it's kind of losing me.
Yeah, it's like, what's going on? I'm because it's interesting too. I kind of forget that there are like some members of the family that are like full siblings.
Yeah.
They're not all half siblings, which is interesting.
Yeah. That's always like interesting when you look at like, because it gets confusing when it skips like the numbered princes, when it goes like the first prince and then the fourth prince, but then you have to look at who the mom is and it's like, oh, they're related. So it's not even like, you know, you just have to kind of pay attention. Like, some of them are close in ranking, like the 11th and 12th. So,
yeah. I think the core theme of this arc is societal inequality, not only reflected in the tiers and way of living, but Camilla's have-nots, the Phantom Trope, and then Miranda's faction of Sankit rankers, etc. Yeah, I feel like it's like, I think the inequality in the world is like something I would call like, I'm kind of making this up, but like kind of like soft world building. Like no one has come out and said like, hey, the Hunter world has vast social inequality, but we see it through like the character stories from like Leorio, who grew up poor, where his friend died of an illness that could have been saved with enough money. So he wants to become a doctor. We see it with like the Phantom Trope, where they're from a city called Meteor City, where everything that's just trash related is thrown, like even people. So, you know, obviously a poor city that they came from. And now we see it with, you know, this very like dictatorship, at like monarchy, where they have a boat with literal tiers of society on it. And I think like half of the people are forced to go to the Dark Continent with the expectation that they're not coming back. It's just like, there's so much excess, but then they also show like the deep wealth inequality in the world, but they don't have to like outwardly say it. It's just kind of been like reinforced as we've like, as the series progresses.
Yeah, because it's like not the focus, but then it's like, you know, in the background, and now it's sort of like, in a way, inadvertently becoming the focus, because it has to now do with so many characters at once. Like, they're all kind of in this, and that's what's causing this. What are the, I heard that term before in the manga, second rakers, but I didn't really like understand like what.
I guess that's just the people that she has with who she's giving her nen powers to.
Okay.
I think yeah, that's what that means. Yeah.
Because they were like talking about that, and I wasn't sure if that meant just the illegitimate children of the king that aren't allowed to be outside of the shadows.
Yeah, and there's literally a succession ceremony and normal people looking to move to a better place because the place they're at sucks. So yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And unfortunately, they're all going to be like sacrifices, so.
Yeah, everyone's probably going to die.
Yeah. Other things, I think we kind of like, covered a lot of what's kind of, I mean, there's still more, but I feel like we've kind of covered a lot of what's kind of been going on in the last 52 chapters of Hunter Hunter. So much of which you vaguely remember, but I think you've done a good job of remembering most of it.
Yeah. Thank you. I remember what I remember, and I'm not sure how much I forget, but I will kind of try to reread it, but I kind of like just kind of being like, okay, what do I know? And then as you did for your read through, I'm like, okay, I'll just keep moving forward and figure it out along the way.
That's the way. That's the way. Nen Beast. You know, I'm kind of, it's a kind lot going a on there. No, I'm not. They're kind of really, really scary looking. They're really, creepy looking. It was just really interesting, though, that whole thing with the fourth prince and Zetsu, like, for some reason, giving him, like, an extra ability. It was just like, okay, what can this guy not do? But, yeah.
Yeah. I think if we end up doing more episodes on this, like, you know, as chapters come down, I'm going to get a whiteboard and just start, you know, taking notes and doing the, like, the strings attached to each other.
Togashi at least does a good job at, like, the beginning of, like, I guess every volume, or I guess it's a volume where he like does the full like current relevant characters and all the explanations and all the princes and their mothers. But like, I had already been like so deep in it that I'm like, I can't look at this again. I don't care. I don't care whose mom is who, like just whatever.
Yeah. I saw one that was like, I think it was in this latest volume that's coming out. He did for like Japanese fans. I guess it hasn't been translated yet because that volume hasn't come out for like an English release. They have like a full like breakdown of it. And it's just like, I'm not looking at that. I'm not reading that. The font is too small. I'm going to get more confused. I'm just not doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes self-care, it's a good thing.
I'm just like, I figured it out purely through vibes.
Yeah. You know, I think when it becomes like relevant, like when it becomes like into the forefront, like that's when you can just like look it up and refresh on it. It's like, okay, I kind of need to know what's going on here. So. Yeah. You know, one day I'll need to understand Prolo's hand maneuvers and book maneuvers, and I'll go back to those six chapters.
That's why we got to root for Hisoka to take out all of the Phantom Troops, so we don't have to remember more of their abilities, and Prolo can't steal them in confusing ways.
Yeah, we only have to worry about Bungee Gum. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone does. Everyone should worry about Bungee Gum.
So I'm, like, curious about that. Like, do you have to, like... Does that work with anyone that uses Nen? Can they just like beseech their own Nen and be like, hey, worth a shot. If I die, just, you know, pump me back to life.
I think they said that it was like intensity of the vow and also probably like your Nen ability, like the level.
Gotcha.
You know, it's not like not anyone can do it, but like he also had that split moment of like, okay, do this.
Yeah, but I was just wondering if it was specific to a particular type of Nen or if it was just like, you know, anyone that's like experienced with Nen can essentially like do that. Like,
I think it's if you have a very strong conviction. That's what something they mentioned too.
Yeah, I think he does. So it makes sense.
He did. He's like, I'm gonna come back and wreck him. Like, I'm gonna take it. That's it. That's how he could bring himself back.
Also, speaking of bringing themselves back, what did you think of the second prince's, not their ability, their Nen ability, which is to summon another beast that's not their, you know, spirit guardian beast that pretty much brought her back to life.
Like, I completely forgot about that until right now, but that
it was like the cat, wild. That cat.
Yes, I remember the cat.
Yeah. That, like, at first I was like, oh, did her spirit guardian, like, did her Nen beast change forms? Like, oh no, I think this is her ability. When did she learn Nen? Like, okay.
She's been kind of an enigma. Is that, like, it's either I don't remember her as well as I should, but I also feel like she's been kind of an enigma in general.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. She's kind of like a dark horse where, like, she obviously is, like, very, like, vicious, but, like, I don't know how smart she is. That's what I mean.
Might have already known Nen just from the fact that her, what were they calling them? Their have not soldiers. I think they know Nen.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay. But it's interesting that she has a Nen ability separate from her Nen beast that is another Nen beast. The fourth prince, his ability is another Nen beast.
Yeah.
And I think, is that the only princes, or there might be another prince even that has like a second like beast as a Nen ability? I don't know.
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm going to need to do the research.
Yeah, I'm getting too much now into the weeds with the particular things that were going on.
Yeah, to your question, the rubbery Nen is what enabled Hisoka to expand and contract his heart and lungs, and it wouldn't work with any other type of aura. So there's like other post-death Nens that we've seen, like P2 versus Gon.
Okay.
Like when she died, but she still was trying to keep the king safe because that was like her strong conviction, so she still tried to attack him. But, like, for that specific instance, if people did not have Hisoka's type of Nen, they wouldn't have been able to survive his situation.
Okay. That makes a lot of – that actually makes a lot of sense. So thank you for clearing that up. Yeah. That's good. All right. So I think that's about all I got for the latest Hunter x Hunter chapter and chapters. I'm kind of glad I'm caught up, but I'm also, like
– in the weeds.
Fearful of the unknown.
And the, like, whole thing is unknown.
Yeah, like there's just, you know, I don't know. It might be a long time before I get to read see the end of the arc. So now I'm in it with you guys.
Yeah, it's tough being here, but we are
I didn't want to commit, but now I'm in it.
In TD.
Yeah, now I'm in the weeds. So anyways, that's kind of it. Did we have anything else that we wanted to say about Hunter x Hunter? Any other comments about the discourse? What is the most toxic? Let's end it off on, like, what's the most toxic Hunter x Hunter discourse you've heard? If you haven't mentioned it already, I think you probably did.
I don't know if it was a joke or not, but someone was like, Killua isn't a top 20 character in the series. And I'm like, okay, bye. Like, you're done. You're done.
Dismissed. You can go.
But I don't know if they were joking or not, or just trying to be like trying to be provocative. But if they were serious, then that's like, no, that's just wrong.
Your ranking is Killua first, like he's your top. Gon is somewhere in the top, or is he number two?
Yeah, but Killua, Muruim, Hisoka, Gon, and then on rewatch it was Netero got the fifth spot.
Did Hisoka get up there after the, what you said, after the fight with Krolo, or was he already there?
Yeah, he was kind of like, I forget what my top was at that point. I knew, like, Gon has always been up there for me, along with, like, my top two were always, like, Killua and Muruim. Like, those were kind of clear-cut. But Hisoka's spot wasn't, like, assured. Like, I always enjoyed him, but I wasn't, like, I wasn't a Hisoka soldier until after the, like, the manga stuff. And then I'm like, okay, no, he's top three. And then I've enjoyed both him and Gon a lot more on rewatch. Not that I'm not enjoying more people on rewatch, but they've, like, definitely jumped up in, like, they are more enjoyable the more I rewatch and consume this series.
How many times have you rewatched it now?
I've seen 2011 like 4 or 5 times now.
I'm probably due for a rewatch. I think I only saw it all once.
It's a fun rewatch. It's like so much fun, especially when you know what's happened. But I've also seen it like with people.
Okay.
Like that's a reason why I'd be rewatching it. I'm like, oh, my friend is watching it, so I'll watch with them. That kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I probably need to do a group watch. That should be fun. Especially with friends who have not seen it. Be like, oh, it's good. You don't believe me? Just wait till episode 32.
Look at this. We already see he's shitting on my son. He's shitting on my son in my chat. What are you doing?
But maybe they have him at number two. Maybe that's number two for them.
No. I don't like it. I respect it, but I don't like it.
And on that note, this was fun. thank you guys for joining us, and we're going to end it here. If you liked what we talked about, if there's something we missed, any other comments, any other theories that you have,
let us know. Wait, you didn't say your top five.
In the comments below.
We need your top five characters. Wait,
let us know in the comments below. We will save my top five for a future Hunter Hunter pod.
No.
No promises if that comes.
Join me in the bullying for the top five.
Do you think we'll have another Hunter Hunter pod?
We can if the chapters keep coming out.
What would it be about? Like, I think we've covered it.
Just keep talking. We'll dissect the chapters. We'll bring out the whiteboard and we'll start.
Yeah. Drawing. Yeah. I'll be like, all right. So now we're going to piece together the princes and the prince and the moms and the Nenbis and all of the abilities.
We're going to draw out the family tree.
Fun. Okay. So we'll save that for another pod. Besides that, let us know what you think in the comments. Subscribe if you have not already, and give us a like on the video if you did enjoy it. I don't know what a tip five is. And then besides all of that, I'll take $5. Besides all that, we'll see you all later. Because after all, we're just weebs. Bye. I'm like waiting to like hit the thing, but I'm like clicking through to find it. Here it is.